So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Edition set of interviews and podcast. With me today, I have Michael Hill of Complaints Are Great. Welcome, Michael. Good morning to you.
Morning to you, Adrian.
So, Michael, tell us a bit about yourself and the work that you do.
Well, we've been running as a business now for nearly 11 years. I first began sort of working in sort of customer service or sort of getting on for 20 years ago, so now. And actually, one of my first jobs was within a brand new complaints unit for a Central London local authority. And that really gave me the opportunity to see, obviously, there within a not-for-profit environment, how complaints could be used to give a business real insight as to what's happening on the ground on a day-to-day basis. But also, when I joined that organization, we were one of the worst performing organizations. We were number three in the Ombudsman League table. It's not the way you want to be on that particular league table. But by the time I left, we had been voted Council of the Year. And one of the key reasons why that transformation had taken place was by focusing upon the needs of the local citizen and to start using complaints to inform where resources should be directed, to take on board the views of the customer, and also to see how we could actually improve the way we delivered our services and also the way we communicated with customers. So, really, based upon that success, I moved into the world of consulting and set up a company that was able to go into business, provide training, and also provide consultancy around process and also systems. I've always been a bit of a fan of gadgets and sort of technology, and so I, within the world of complaint management, of course, do have a focus on root cause analysis, and of course, technology can really support that.
So, what sort of companies is it that you work for? Who would be your sort of ideal clients?
We have worked with companies across all sectors since we first set off and launched the company. My probably sort of preference, though, is for sort of regulated sort of sectors in particular. I quite like to sort of tackle regulatory rules and help an organisation to actually move beyond those rules that really set a minimum standard and look creatively as to how we can actually deliver a far better experience for those customers who are reporting problems to those organisations.
Okay. And so what I was thinking about was the generally what we find is that excuse me, the customer service and complaint management and things and the role of service and business growth seems to be rising in the business agenda, or is very much high on the agenda. Why do you think that is right now? What is changing around us to drive that, do you think?
Well, I think one aspect for as a business is that customer service does add real value in terms of long-term sustainability. I just don't see too many sort of businesses that can really sort of feel that they're in sort of business for the long term who are sort of capable of doing that without having a real focus upon the needs and wants and demands of their customers. And of course, more and more now these days, as we have more and more capabilities of self-service for the sort of customer, the moment of truth often for the customer is when something actually goes wrong. And yes, we're still a long way from the world of perfection. And actually, if we look at the innovation in technology and the way we're moving forward rapidly, that does still give plenty of scope for things to go wrong. But also, as customers, we're all different. We all have different perceptions of often the same experience. And that needs to be something that is welcomed by business. And of course, we've got more and more sort of channels to sort of work across. And so I think, you know, this is one of the sort of fundamental areas that maybe sort of business is sort of picking up upon, is that if it is, as a sort of business, going to drive itself forward, it really needs to be sort of listening to that large sort of area of sort of customer sort of feedback, because that's, you know, how it's going to actually over time better adapt its products and services.
And do you think, I mean, I see lots of sort of talk, I mean, in the market around technology this and technology that and all these other sort of different sort of like solutions. And I know that you're a bit of a, as you said just a few moments ago, that you're a bit of a technology geek, as it were. But complaint management and managing complaints, is it all about technology, or is it more than
that? No, it's also, of course, a common sense and about getting the basics right. And that is, of course, a major pitfall for many businesses, is that they jump onto the next sort of technology bandwagon, look at making themselves available on the next social media sort of sites that is suddenly immensely sort of popular,
mm-hmm.
but without getting the basics right on the traditional channels. And that's something I've written about over the last sort of couple of months. We mustn't forget that, yes, this is about getting sort of the basics of customer service right. And really, you know, the good business will make sure that's all in place on its traditional channels, such as phone, email and letter, before it then takes the next steps into, for example, Facebook, Twitter, and the like.
What do you mean by that? Does that mean that it's almost like not forgetting the sort of the human touch, as it were?
Absolutely. Problem resolution, complaint handling is, of course, one of the areas of sort of customer service that is so difficult to automate. And also, it's a scenario where the customer, of course, is really wanting human interaction. They want someone who's going to empathise with the circumstances that they've experienced as a result of the problem that led to the complaint. They need someone to take ownership of the problem, and often as well to come up with a creative solution, someone who's going to work with the customer to come around and bring about a solution that is satisfactory, of course, to both parties. And I just see that that's always going to be a real challenge for technology to replace, and is always, I feel, going to be a vital element of the customer service proposition of any company.
And it's almost like matching a really great set of people and team with the right sort of technology to enable those interactions, whether it's, you know, over the phone, over the web, or even face to face, I guess.
Yes, and that complaint handler, of course, has to be fully engaged by the business and empowered to take appropriate actions. Of course, nothing's more frustrating as a customer than dealing with someone and only to find out that actually they have no authority to provide the resolution that you need as the customer.
So, I mean, that sort of leads me on to sort of my next question, which is around having people that are engaged and can really deal with customer issues or inquiries or complaints or whatever is about creating a more customer-centric organization. Where does the impetus for that to start? If the company doesn't, if it's not originally or traditionally sort of oriented that way, but it realizes it needs to make a change, where does the impetus for that change start? Do you think that starts at the board level, the CEO's office, or do you think it can start through individual efforts in different departments in the front line, let's say?
Yes, well, the commitment will need ultimately to come from the top, if the right culture is going to be sort of put into place. But yes, often these initiatives start from whether that's sort of on the ground, on the sort of front line, or elsewhere, that a particular individual starts to drive this sort of forward. But ultimately, of course, that will need to be taken on by the organisation. And I know I've seen many businesses where actually found pockets of fantastic practice. Sometimes, of course, a particular sort of business unit working within its own space, but having some freedom to actually deliver some great customer service. The challenge for the business then is how to actually replicate that more widely. And that's where I think actually ultimately you need the commitment from the board and CEO.
Okay. And what have you seen that works really well to get employees engaged and really being more customer sort of focused?
Well, I think I've already mentioned empowerment, and
but I mean, Michael, that's quite a big word. You know, it's a lot of thing that gets kind of thrown around the place.
Yes. So,
excuse me for interrupting. Is that empowerment, engagement, all that stuff? I mean, what does that mean in practical day-to-day terms?
Well, using complaint handling as an example, then, in my view, empowerment is an employee who has the authority to do almost whatever is needed for the customer to resolve the complaint. Yes, maybe to work within a framework, maybe to follow particular sort of guidance, but where that employee is actually trusted by the organisation to do what's right for the customer. And in most circumstances, and certainly from my experience, you don't find that employees abuse that. If they're given the freedom to take action on behalf of customers and to put right a faulty process or product, often also maybe to do some measure of goodwill for the customer, that is a very empowering activity for the employee. And also for the employee, that often means that they're having a far happier situation where they're a problem solver. Rather than someone who is simply dealing with customer rage and anger.
Right. So does that mean that, also allowing them a little bit of or some leeway and flexibility to take their own initiative to do what they think is right, even though if it might be outside of a given framework?
Yes, and actually, again, this is an area where technology supports us in terms of measuring and monitoring what's going on. But that means that we should be able to allow the frontline employee a lot more freedom in their activity. Yes, we need to, as a business, provide them with the skills to help them to increase their knowledge on what they can do to put things right for the customer, but yes, that employee on the front line, I think, again, needs the freedom to be creative, to be innovative with the way that they serve their customers. And I've seen some great examples over the years where business has done that. Unfortunately, I've also seen some poor examples where business fails to do that. And really do put their employees into situations that are often so much more stressful.
Okay. And companies that do this well, sort of manage complaints and the engagement of its employees kind of well, I mean, in your experience, are you seeing real examples of how that really affects, you know, top line growth as well as bottom line growth?
And I think there's some sort of very good examples of sort of businesses that are sort of driving their sort of business forward by focusing more on the needs of their sort of customers and their employees, and giving those employees sort of more sort of freedom, but where that also has a positive impact upon sort of the bottom line. And we only have to look over at sort of the US at the Zappos sort of model to see there a sort of company that is so heavily sort of focused upon sort of the customer and the employee, and where also I think sort of interestingly they have such a focus on making sure that employees talk with their customers.
Mm-hmm.
Although a lot of their proposition, of course, is about around technology and online service delivery. When you dig deeper, though, you actually find that what they really drive forward is that when particularly that something is perceived to have gone wrong, that the employee is picking up the phone and talking to the customer.
Right. I mean that's brilliant. Thank you for that. I'm just conscious of time, and what I wanted to do is almost to move on to more general stuff, because you know it's quite timely, and that we've just had figures from the UK that's just been released that said that the economy grew 0.2% in the last quarter two of 2011, and it would have grown faster if it hadn't been for the royal wedding and a bunch of other bank holidays and things, and I'm not so sure about that. It seems like it's a lot of possibilities about sort of potentially managing sort of figures. So technically, we might be out of a recession, but we're not really out of the woods yet. So what I would ask is, what do you think businesses, large or small, should be doing to help themselves grow and get sort of better?
Well, yes, we are in times where the consumer is very price conscious. But also, if they are looking at making expenditures of higher sort of value, you only have to go and stand in a retail outlet, listen to the conversations. And I've done this myself sort of recently, and there's a considerable number of occasions where you hear the customer asking, I don't know, maybe about wanting to buy a washing machine or sort of TV, PC. And one of the most common questions you hear is, okay, well, that's how much it costs. What do I do if something goes wrong?
Mm.
My wife, who works with sort of business and helping sort of business to take on apprentices, she says to me that's the key thing that she gets asked. People are happy in business to take on these apprentices, but first thing they want to know is, what do we do if something's gone wrong? And I think that's something we need to be aware of as a sort of business is, yes, if customers do want to hand money over, as it to us, they increasingly, yes, do have expectations and around the customer service that will be associated with that, and particularly if something has gone wrong or is going to go wrong, they want to know how that's going to be addressed, and they want the confidence that that is going to be addressed. There was a couple of months ago, a study came out of Europe looking at cross-border transactions. And there, that study was suggesting that one of the key issues that is actually holding consumers back from making more purchases cross-border is that they're unsure as to what will happen if something goes wrong. And I mean, there's a real trust element here as well that business needs to sort of consider. I think also, interestingly, this week we had the TV series on, I think it was Channel 4, The Undercover Boss, with an automobile manufacturer. And the chief executive was actually incredibly customer service focused, and she thought she was running a business that was incredibly customer service focused. But when she spent some time on the front line, she realised that actually her message wasn't getting through. Mm. And on the front line, customer service was often failing. And I see this, again, quite often in business, where sometimes senior management feel that they're incredibly customer focused and delivering a wonderful customer service proposition, and that that is actually being delivered and practiced across the business. But if you actually dig more deeply, you find that actually there's often things going wrong and the customer isn't necessarily getting the service that they would expect or want.
I think that's a good point. Something I wrote about recently about asking how many CEOs take customer service calls. And it is, that's almost like direct first-hand market research that I think is can be really essential in providing that if you like that leadership insight as to what is really going on. And it smacks me as being quite funny that you have to go into a TV program to really understand what is going on in your business. And it makes me think, well, actually, why aren't more people in senior management doing that? And another example I used was Sir Terry Leahy of Tesco's, who apparently spent between 20 and 40% of each week when he was at the helm of Tesco's speaking to customers in store, speaking to customers around his staff, seeing what was, you know, what was going on, would be in a different store every week. And I think it's just, it can provide sort of fantastic insight into what is really going on and getting that, not just a research findings, because research findings gets displayed in almost graphs and data points and things. And I think it was Disraeli that once said, when it was once famously quoted as saying, lies, damn lies and statistics.
Yes.
And I think that the real insight comes from what is the emotional feeling that you get and insight that you get from actually doing this firsthand.
Mm.
So I think I don't know about you, but I would advocate that every boss, whatever size of their business, spends more time actually dealing with customers and customer issues directly, because that's the best way that they'll get an idea of how their whole business is delivering.
Yeah. And it's a fantastic opportunity to validate your customer service offering.
Wow.
But this is what really attracted me to complaint management all those years ago, was that if we the surveys and the statistics, customer complaints and sort of feedback are real verbatim sort of commentary on the day-to-day interactions between the business and its sort of customer.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we see many businesses invest heavily into customer satisfaction sort of measures and various sort of methodologies to try and bring around more and more statistics. But again, often forgets those customers are actually engaging with the business on a day-to-day sort of business. And actually, maybe it is an opportunity to invest a bit more on those interactions to make sure that actually more customers are talking to the business, rather than, of course, the many customers who choose not even to complain when things go wrong and simply walk out of the store or switch to another supplier or simply just lose confidence and trust in that business. And maybe they don't have too much choice, or it's just too difficult to switch, but they're not really a happy customer and not really engaged with that particular business.
Okay, well that's brilliant. Just finally, as we sort of come towards the end of our time, I mean, I know that you write a lot, but where do you get your information sort of to keep up? I mean, do you read sort of blogs? If so, kind of which ones do you like? Or how is it that you keep on top of all this? I mean, because the internet's exploding and the sources of information that we have around us is exploding. How do you sort of keep up with the things that are kind of going on and things that's going on in your marketplace?
A combination, really. I use some sort of Google Alerts to pinpoint key news items for me. So those Google Alerts will look out for any news around sort of complaint management in different sectors. It's one of actually sort of things I use Twitter for as well, is to track sort of various sort of people that I like to sort of listen to or to sort of hear from, to see what content, of course, they are sharing. And of course, yeah, often sort of blogs are, blog updates are shared on sort of Twitter. And then I run a few LinkedIn sort of discussion groups. So I run some sector-specific complaint management sort of groups. I have a finance one, a utilities, telecoms, public sector, etc. And seem to have brought together quite a good sort of group of people within each sort of sector from a wide variety of sort of organisations that are again sort of sharing their sort of content, sharing their views. So I do try to look widely, and also I don't just focus upon the UK. I'm very interested in developments from around the world, and so actually there's a good example recently. I've been looking at over in the US the creation of the new financial consumer protection bureau that's going to take on to complaints about financial services, the first national complaints hotline for finance that's ever been in the US.
Okay, excellent. And finally, I always finish with this this question when I interview sort of people for the blog. What would you like to shamelessly plug?
I would absolutely famously plug our expertise in working with any sort of business on looking at the way it handles complaints, and also how we can support them in identifying the technology that gives complaint handlers the tools to better respond to complaints, and also, of course, gives the business the tools to analyse and measure what's going on while still giving those frontline employees the freedom to handle complaints effectively, but is also bringing around real insights as to what are the key trends, what are the opportunities to improve and to learn from customer feedback.
Perfect. Well, Michael, thank you very much for your time today. That was really interesting.
Thank you, Adrian.
And thank you very, very, very much to everybody who's listening to this podcast. If you want to get in touch with Michael, then I shall link him up in the post below. Do give him a call or get in touch or check out his blog, complaintsaregreat.com. And also put other links in there about his Twitter and or LinkedIn sort of profile as well. So anyway, thanks again, Michael, for your
thank
time
you.
Today. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Yes, me too.
Take
care. Thanks, Adrian.
Bye-bye.
Bye.